Okay, we're live. So, if you saw our post earlier, you would have seen that today is going to be a cool show. It's going to be about 100% finance deals, okay? And we always get this. Well, what's different from 100% finance to the regular, hey, I put my own 20 or 25% in? Well, there's things that you need to know and you need to look at that are different. So I hope you brought your questions. At the end, we will definitely be doing some Q&A. But yeah, 100% finance. That's what we do. We're the
OPM couple, right? We love buying properties using none of our own money, and also without joint venture partners. Yes. So that way we keep all that money that we make. But OPM changed our lives. And let's backtrack a little bit. When we started I was petrified of using other people's money. Dave was a little bit more open-minded to it than I was. But I was petrified because I was afraid, well, what if I borrow somebody's money and I'm not able to pay them back? So let's kind of talk just quickly here. How was I able to get through this roadblock? And we little, and I, oh, what are you thinking? You have a face on.
What's that song? I'm petrified. I didn't have you by my side, or, but I'm alive. Anyway, whenever you talk, I think of songs. I don't know why.
Yeah, you do. Especially when we're live.
I know, yeah. So yes, we were scared. Mel was very, very worried about the OPM. I was very scared to even get started off, you know, get off the ground. So
yeah, so we actually ended up meeting with investors across Canada who had a large portfolio, who was doing the whole OPM and ended up losing their portfolio. And just summarize it here for you. It all came down to their exit strategy. They didn't have a well-structured exit strategy. And once we realized that, that's when we thought, okay, we got to get really, really good at ensuring that we have an exit strategy if we're going to be using OPM.
Yes. So Mel and I always say exit before you enter.
Yes.
All right. And when you said OPM couple, that was actually going to be one of our names. We were going to go with OPM couple. And we're like, okay. But anyway, we ended up with the investor couple.
Yeah. The investor couple.
I like it. So let's get started up. Let's talk about some of the differences or some of the, not differences, but some of the things you need to keep in mind when you are using 100% financed with OPM and still making sense of the deals. So, I know you want me to stop saying so all the time. I do it every time. So, and even filmmaker Raphael's like, stop saying so.
No, cut. We're cut, live. We can't cut it.
Hafa.
Go with it. We gotta go with it.
But so the first thing, I did it again. The first thing is you will not be able to access all financial institutions to do this. Get that, you know, straight right off the hop. So the big five institutions will not allow 100% financing. So know that going in. Don't even, actually, I don't want to say waste time, but don't even go barking up a tree that you know is not going to be successful.
And for us, this kept us paralyzed to our growth, right? So the first roadblock is that, we go to one of the big fives and we ask them, hey, we want to do this. They said no. Then we thought, oh, can't be done. Must be illegal. There seems kind of, you know, there's too much gray. I'm not sure what's going on. Didn't feel comfortable. And we stopped there. And we hear it all the time. People tell us all the time, yeah, well, this can't be done. And I asked my bank and you guys are wrong. And they told me that, you know, can't be done.
I know.
Yes, it can be done. We slowly own over 100 units using OPM. So absolutely, it
can be done. As of now, 100 units.
As of now, we have some really big announcements.
I can't say anything yet. It's bottled up inside me. I just want to go on a rooftop and yell.
I'm sure you probably will.
I will. But yeah, just like Mel said, not all banks are the same. Knowing that, when you get a no, don't take that as the end of the road. That's just another step towards a yes. So every no brings you closer to a yes. Don't listen to people that tell you it cannot be done. They might, you know, in their financing world, in their bubble, if you're a mortgage broker, if the lenders that they use or the access to funds that they have don't allow it, okay, that's fine. That's them. But that isn't the end of the road. People do it. Lenders do it. Institutions do it. You just need to find the right one.
And that's bang on. You need to be working with the right lenders if you want to be successful using other people's money. So now we've already identified it can't be an A lender. So what do? Well, you're going to go to a B lender. And if you're thinking, well, Mel, that means I have to pay extra interest. You know, why would I ever want to do that? Because you can now buy properties using none of your own money. And if the deals makes sense if your cash flow goes from here to here, even if you pay a little bit more interest. As long as the deal makes sense, that's completely fine.
So you're kind of segueing into the next point I wanted to make is ratios. Ratios, ratios, ratios. When the institutions or the lenders or anyone is looking at your deal, at the deal that you bring to them, and hopefully you've looked at the ratios ahead of time yourself so that you're not wasting their time and more importantly, your time. But some lenders might have different ratios when you're doing 100% finance deals. And I'm not going to get into numbers now, but I just want you to have this mindset where, let's say you're bringing a triplex to an institution and you're putting down your own 20% or your own 25%. They might have a certain ratio that they need to make sense of the deal because you're skin in the game. You're putting that in. Now, when we utilize other institutions or people that allow us to do creative financing, they'll sometimes have higher ratios or different ratios because they're saying, Mel, Dave, you have zero skin in the game. I want to ensure that the deal makes even more sense with even higher ratios to meet. So keep that in mind when you're talking to lenders that they might, don't just go by what everyone else is doing, the typical norm. Ask them specifically, what are the ratios that these deals need to meet or exceed in order for you to open up that bank account and fund my deal.
Yes, you keep saying skin, what is it?
Skin in the game.
Skin in the game. So we hear that all the time. And we had to almost convince people that, hey, this is how we buy properties. We buy properties all the time without skin in the game. So yes, it can be done. But that's certainly something that from lenders that you may hear as well. You have to have skin in the game. Well, no, we don't have to. You may think that maybe if you're working at a specific mortgage institution, that's your requirements, but we don't ever put any money into the deals.
Again, it's just that might be for that particular lender, but think outside the box.
Yes, and not doing so enables us to have a lot of backup money. So if something goes wrong, we have that backup plan, and B, helps us continue to grow our portfolio.
And that's the conversations I'll have sometimes with different lenders or different brokers is, you don't have any skin in the game. What happens if something, you're just going to walk away? And I tell them, I'm not buying this building to walk away. So yes, I understand that you want me to have skin in the game, but if I'm coming up with the down payment, you know, the 20, 25, sometimes a 30%, whatever it is, whatever loan to value you'll get, if I'm coming up with that through private money or other people's money, OPM, that means that the money that I have, I'm keeping for a rainy day. What if something happens? Well, if all my skin in the game was in the deal, then what do I do? But in this situation, because I've borrowed all the money, if something happens, if tenant doesn't pay rent, I've got my reserves, skin in the game, on the sidelines, ready to deploy if needed. So I love the way we do
it. Yeah, and we've had these very serious conversations, right? Having a plan A, plan B, plan C. And when I'm saying plan, I'm referring to your exit strategy. So exit strategy one, exit strategy two, exit strategy three. We talk about this in our book.
Yeah.
And we even talked about our residential home that before I would ever go without paying a lender, we would sell our house first because at the end of the day, we can always get another home.
The golden goose or the goose that lays the golden egg?
Yes, something like that.
You don't sell the golden egg layer.
The editor clearly edited that part of the book since we're not clear on the saying. But
yeah, well, you don't sell that, right? You can always buy another house.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's ratios. Now, when utilizing 100% financing, the loan to value that the first place mortgage holder giving you, because again, you always disclose if you're going to use secondary financing to down payment or to utilize as a down payment on a deal, you disclose that to the first mortgage holder. Some people will try and get away. I'm not saying to do that whatsoever. Please disclose it. Because it's going to be your bacon that is at risk there.
Absolutely. So, be very, very transparent because it can absolutely come back.
Nothing's ever good when you lie to the banks. Yes. So yeah, always disclose there's going to be a second mortgage holder that's going to be the down payment. Now, the first, they're either going to be a yes or no, a yay or nay, right? Some of them are just completely no's and some of them are, okay, I'm fine with that, but let me readjust my offer. Let me readjust my game plan. They might lower their loan to value. So they might say, okay, you know, I was going to give you 80% or 75% loan to value. Well, now that I understand you're 100% financed, you know what, I'm gonna conservatively only give you 70 or 65 loan to value. So ensure that when you're using 100% financing, you know that the loan to value, the LTV, might be lower or might change on you because you're using OPM.
Yeah, and we always prepare for this. So we know, okay, we're going in, we're hoping we're going to get 80% or 75%, but we also know, what if, you know, what if it's only 70%? And while we're getting through the approval process, we don't wait. We have a backup plan, right? So we're finding other lenders, whether it's somebody with their 401k or RSPs or a promissory note, somebody who has a line of credit, for example, that they want to put that money into work, right? So we're always moving forward, yes, as opposed to we're being proactive as opposed to being reactive.
Great point, Mel. So when we're underwriting our deals, because we underwrite it just the way the bank does, so there's no surprises, I'll underwrite, instead of giving myself 75 or 80% loan to value, I'll underwrite at 65 or 70% first mortgage. So then if they come back to me at 75, bonus. But if they don't, if they say, hey, Dave, I'm only going to give you 70% loan to value. Okay, well, I already negotiated that the owner would hold a second mortgage of 25%. So now I'm only up to 95%. What do I do? Well, because we evaluated the building and underwrote it, I know that I'm going to go to a private lender, private investor, get a promissory note, get a contractual agreement to fill that void, right? Or if I just did a refinance, there's money there. So understanding and underwriting ahead of time for the loan to value is a little lower. Well, like Mel said, allow you to be proactive as opposed to reactive.
Yep, good point.
And final point, or one of the final points I want to make on this before we go to the Q&A, is cash flow, okay? Cash flow. And I know everyone will say, yeah, Dave, cash flow, it should be there. On 100% financed buildings or assets or income producing properties, I want to stress this, you should be cash flowing. We only buy them. You should absolutely be buying
cash flow from day one.
Because you're carrying so much debt, the asset itself should be paying for all of it and putting money in your pocket as a safety net in itself. And the beauty of having a cash flowing building that's 100% financed is, think of this, one day when you pay back that second mortgage or refinance, if a building makes sense when it's 100% financed and still cash flowing, then imagine once you have equity in the deal, the cash flow that'll be coming out.
Exactly. Once you pay back that lender, so the 20% is paid off, imagine your cash flow goes from here to here. And when we bought those 12 properties, that was in 2017. So 12 properties in less than 12 months. In 2017, our cash flow was still cash flowing, of course, from day one. Absolutely. But once we repaid all of those 12 lenders back, guess what happened to every single one of those properties? The cash flow just boom, up, increased, right? So this is the power of A, making sure that you cash flow from day one, but of also knowing that this is coming down the road as well.
Absolutely. So that's, oh, actually, you know what? I want to add something else into that. Is my voice cracked there? Going through puberty.
You got to do the voice warm up first, yeah.
But, and because I know we're going to get this question. We always get this question. Well, okay, you refinanced it for a higher amount, just to pay out the other people. Well, won't your mortgage payments be higher? Won't your cash flow go down? So look at it this way. If you buy a building for a lower amount and you have 100% debt at probably a higher interest rate, but you're still cash flowing, when you refinance, yes, you're going to have a higher first mortgage, but you won't have a second mortgage. And then the other thing is, it'll be at a lower interest rate. So more debt, lower interest rate, and your cash flow will probably stay the same if not go up, or maybe go down just a little bit, but probably stay the same if not go up, while paying everyone back and having a tax-free refinance.
Yeah, because quite often you may pay a little bit more interest when you're starting off to get into it. But once that's gone, your interest typically will lower as well.
All right. So Q&A.
Let's go right into some Q&A. Cue
the
Q&A.
Yes. So let's see if you guys have some questions. Please let us know. Oh, you want us to grab these ones from Facebook?
I'm not able to scroll. Can you bring it a little closer?
Thank you. Bring Facebook a little closer.
Awesome. Hello. Good.
Oh, someone's asking, what loan to values do you typically see? So yeah, so like I was saying earlier, the loan to values when 100% financed, will kind of depend. Sometimes you'll have, you know, will you get that 75, 80%? you know, sometimes credit unions that have a little bit more, not security, but credit unions will do that where they'll allow a second mortgage and they will go up to, let's say, 80% on four or lower, or 75% on five or higher. But if you're using kind of more private lenders through mortgage brokers, their loan to value will probably go down. You're looking more like 75%. Right now we've got some with 70%, but I've heard some people only get 65. So that's what we've seen. That's what you can expect to see. But I've been offered a deal. I've been offered finance once on a building, and they only wanted to finance 50% of it. So you can see anything, right? They can decide to offer you a first mortgage of very low. It just depends on their risk tolerance. And so the loan to value will be different for different lenders, but just kind of have that in mind. Be flexible and go worst case scenario, and then if it's better, then you're laughing.
Absolutely. And it makes me think about, we get this all the time as well, that, okay, I found OPM, or people are really excited. Guess what, Mel? I've been watching you, I've been following you, and I was able to get an owner finance deal. And I'll say, that's, you know, congratulations, that's awesome. And,
awesome.
Do you have your exit strategy? And then they go, what? Exit strategy? Yes. And I know we kind of mentioned it a little bit at the beginning, but you have to make sure if you're going to be using other people's money, whether it's owner financing, RSPs, 401k, promissory notes, TFSAs, doesn't matter which way, you have to make sure that you have that clear exit strategy. Because this is, most of us get into real estate for long-term wealth, right? We get into it for generational wealth. And if you don't have that set out, there will come a time that you have to pay them back. And we're all about not having just the one exit, right? You have to have plan A, B, C, D.
Yes. Oh, good point, Mel. Okay, so a question from Alex on Instagram. You said something about not relying on the big five. So what I meant was the big five bank, and I'm not, I mean initially to get into it 100% financed. I still use the big five institutions, but it's on the exit. When I refinance and pay back all the private lending and creative financing, That's when the major five are finally ready to say, okay, you've got equity skin in the game now because the asset is worth more. That's when I'll use the big five. So it's initially just to get into it. And in the States, it's the big four, the big five. And they're kind of the same thing.
And if you're using your own money, then that, if you have a HELOC, for example, and you want to use your own money, then yeah, absolutely go ahead with big five.
Yeah.
But we're all about OPMs, so, and that's why we don't.
Yes. And keep in mind, some of the big five have been changing the HELOC rule. So make sure to ask the question first.
So question here from Ruff. How do you go about finding seller financing properties? Well, you get used to a few things. You got to look at lots and lots and lots of deals, and you got to be okay with getting some no's. So you don't want to just be looking at what's online on MLS.CR.com, right? You want to be looking way past that. You got to find off-listed deals. And look at it this way. If we're looking at 20 deals a week and our neighbor's only looking at 3 deals a week, who's going to win? Statistically, who's going to win? We're going to find that most cash flowing property because we're looking at lots and lots of deals. Now, that being said, what is that saying? You got to kiss a lot of frogs or what?
Yeah, that's really fun.
Right.
And what I was going to say is, and everyone's heard this saying before, but you said it to me the other day, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So I know that's cheesy and we've all heard that. But what we mean in this is, if you don't ask, you won't know. If you ask, at least you've got two options. They can say yes, they can say no. But if you don't ask, the option is 100% no. So ask a lot of people and you're going to get a lot of no's.
Yeah. And honestly, they want to know a few things. They want to know, how much interest are you going to pay me? And obviously, they need to know their benefits and understand their benefits, which is the capital gains. But essentially, they also want to know, how do I know that you're going to pay me back? And this is where the exit strategy is so important. Dave and I, we show them our cash flow analysis matrix that we've created throughout the years, because it shows them black and white, right? It shows them numbers on this side. This is the building today. This is where it's going to be. And they take it to their accountants and are able to show them. So being able to show them a visual as well is super, super important.
All right. So RWS, I think Bancroft, are you able to get regular mortgage rates when you refinance? Yes. Well, yes and no. If you're refinancing and completely paying out all of the second mortgage or the creative financing that you have to get into the deal, then yes. So for example, the major ones that we just did, during COVID, we refinanced about $4 million worth of real estate through CMHC and through one of the A lenders. Now, we had creative financing on all four of those buildings, but they knew that. Again, we're being honest with the lenders, right? We never lie. Mm-hmm. So as we're going into the deal, we're saying, hey, we have second mortgages on all these properties. It's all creative financed. Here's the new evaluation. If you give us a refinance amount of, you know, whatever loan to value, then we'll be able to pay that out completely. Now we'll have skin in the game. We'll have equity, and they are willing to finance. So yes, if you're able to pay back all the creative financing on the refinance, which is why it's so important to exit the deal before you enter initially, then yes, you can bring it to the A lenders and get those better rates.
You want to make sure as well to repay them early, right? Try to at least repay them early. This goes a long, long way. So the 12 that we bought in less than 12 months, we repaid all of them back in 2 to 3, we repaid them back 2 to 3 years early. Think about the power of that, and think about the power for numerous reasons. Number one, we repay them early. They weren't expecting us to repay them that early. So now they have, let's say, $50,000 or $300,000 sitting that they weren't expecting to get back right away. So now we're going to go back to them and say, hey, you know, we have these other deals. You know, like, and trust us now. You know, we don't ever miss a payment. Do you want to do business with us, right? Or they might have another property to sell, or they might sit at their coffee shop that afternoon and say, hey, guess what? You know, the Dupree's just paid me back 2 years early. Isn't it awesome? Right? So these are the things, if you can pay them back early, absolutely do. And what we love to do is, if there is a leftover, let's say, and this happens quite often because we look at a lot of deals, we really make sure to find underperforming ones. If there's some money left upon refinancing, we don't just take that money for ourselves. We're going to take that money and pay back one that's not even related to that building. So we might end up paying back two different lenders. And that's what, as well, helps again with that reputation and that growth.
Thank you, FL. Okay, I think this will be the last one because I am starving.
I had my stuff.
I know, you
before.
Had yours. I was busy. Okay.
You were busy. That's good.
Okay, do you ever consider, this is from Joe Busella or La Busella, or JC Busella. Raphael, I'm not sure what you
wrote. Raphael, you really got to print your writing.
Okay. Do you ever consider blanket mortgages? Yes, I have looked at this. I've looked at it about three times now. I'm trying to think why I didn't pull the trigger on it. I liked it. Pros and cons. What did I like and I not like? I liked having one massive mortgage, or, you know, with one institute, one place, blanket it all and be done with it. The thing I didn't like was, because I have all sorts of different corporations owning the assets and everything, so it was going to get complicated with that. And then let's say if I wanted to sell off here and there one building, or it just, I think it was made more sense for us to keep different pockets of real estate in different areas or different corporations than have one massive blanket. But I have looked at it. I did like it because then you could leverage against your equity and that blanket mortgage. So there's a lot of pros and cons to that. I'm not saying that I don't like it. It's just, when Mel and I looked at it, we just decided for us at that, I haven't looked at it for about 2 years, but for us, at that time, it just wasn't the option we wanted to go. But I know a lot of people that do it and it works well. So I'm neutral on that.
Yes. And we're not able to see everybody that's on, but I do see a few names here that are all a lot of people from our Action Mentoring Program, which we're going live with them in about...
Yes, 29 minutes.
29 minutes. Teresa, I think you're part of the Action family.
Teresa, so let's ask that question today.
Let's address it today throughout our program, our mentoring program, that way we can really dig into it. So copy what you have there and paste it in our when we go live very soon. So we better go because... I don't want to
I'm
be
fading away.
I don't want. Yeah, this guy's fading away, and he gets hangry. What's that word?
Hangry.
Hangry. Yeah, he gets hangry if he doesn't eat, and we want to have a good, energetic cat. And I'm gonna go to the coffee shop. I think grab a little coffee. Yeah.
So there's a show again. Hopefully you enjoyed the episode today, and hopefully you enjoyed the content. This is real life content from real life people. We've done it. We've been there. We're still doing it. So I want the takeaway for today to be: creative financing is a real thing. A lot of people are doing it. If you encounter someone that says no, someone that says it doesn't exist, it's illegal, it doesn't work here, please, please, please do yourself the favor. You know, let them be where they want in the road. Sidestep them, go around them. And then find someone, you know, a mentor or something that understands creative financing. And learn... going to do selfless plug. Anyway, we find a mentor that does it. I won't do it. But find a mentor that does it because it can be done. Don't let them stop you and don't take no for an answer.
And I'll do the plug then on your behalf. And if you're looking for someone, this is our lane. We specialize. We don't do everything. We specialize in buying multifamily properties using none of our own money and without joint venture partners. If that's the lane you want to be in, then absolutely reach out to us. And if you just want to know more about creative financing, here's a free masterclass you can check out. We talk about the 6 strategies in a little bit more depth. And we're on the right board as well, right? So you get a bit more of a visual as well. So it's www.12in12months.com, and those are numbers. So 12in12months.com. Check it out. It's completely free, and it's going to help you give that visual on how we're able to do it.
Absolutely.
All right. So have a happy Wednesday.
Yes.
Mentoring family, we will see you. Mentoring Action family, we'll see you very
27
soon.
27 minutes.
And thank you, everyone on Instagram. Thank you, everyone on Facebook. Thank you to everyone who's also listening to our podcast.
Yes, after.
Afterwards, if you haven't listened to all of our lives yet and you want to check them out, we are on all major podcast platforms. So make sure to check that out.
Okay.
Awesome.
Enjoy the rest of your week and make it productive. We're already halfway through.
Awesome. Bye for now.
Bye for now.